Happy Saturday, Nashville. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3. The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you for the next couple of hours, getting you ready for a full slate of college football today, NFL tomorrow, hockey tonight in Smashville. Lots to get to on the show. Should be a fun one. Let's start with our headlines today. Nick Frazier, why don't you lead us off?
I'm going to another obscure sport. Obviously, Australian rugby is in the off season. I mentioned this to you guys before the show. 17-year-old phenom Luke Littler. He is the Scotty Scheffler of professional darts. This guy's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. I was listening to a few podcasts about him through Sky Sports, and they were just saying, you know, what I'd started playing during COVID, and I was like 13, 14 years old, hit my first 180. I was like, wow. And I will say, the reason why I enjoy darts, one, I grew up kind of playing it from time to time just for a little party fun. But two, the fan atmosphere there is unbelievable. I think they're doing like a U.S. Masters in New York coming up, I think in May of 25. So might be planning a trip to New York, because I would love to be a part of the atmosphere.
A lot to unpack there.
Nick Frazier is the one guy in the movie Dodgeball who's like, did you watch the game last night? And they're like, what game? It's like, curling.
I think my
favorite, was an obscure sports monthly.
My favorite part about that was I was listening to a podcast.
I know. Yeah, I listened to a couple of podcasts about darts.
Not one. A couple.
A couple.
Yeah.
I love it.
There's a few.
I mean,
is it on ESPN 8, The Ocho?
No, unfortunately not. It's on like Pluto TV, I think.
Okay, so pretty close.
Even better.
Pretty close. So at 10 a.m. today, he goes up for round two, and it's either him or Luke Humphreys that's going to win this whole thing.
Are you going to give us play-by-play?
Yeah, we might have to make the whole 10 a.m. segment about darts at this point.
I mean, it's best of 11, so it's basically whoever gets to the 6 points first, they win. So
Best of 11 series.
Best of 11.
Wouldn't want it any other way for darts.
I think all sports should adopt that.
The best of 11.
I mean, it goes by super
series
quick.
Take 3 weeks to finish.
I mean, yesterday he 6-0'd Robert Cross. Like, Rob Cross.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
I mean, 6-0'd.
That's crazy. Robert Cross. I totally know who that is.
Yeah. He's a bald-headed man who just
I know Robert Frost.
Not that guy. No.
I was going to say, is that Robert Frost?
Yeah. Does he give us poems before he goes out and...
But I will say, it's pretty crazy to see a 17-year-old kid just get his professional darts card and just go to professional events and just toss it right at the board.
Speaking of 17, did you know Ryan Williams is 17?
Yeah.
I don't think they've ever mentioned that on the broadcast before.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Alabama freshman receiver.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't think they've ever mentioned that before.
Wow, I hadn't heard that before.
Haven't heard that from Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit.
Breaking news from Connor Newt.
Crazy.
Jake Wallman, what is your headline this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. It feels like I've not been in the studio in a long time with you guys.
That is true.
And for that, we are thankful.
It's been it's been a show and a half since the last time you were on with us.
So my headline, Tennessee played in the Baja Mar Invitational this week with Virginia and St. John's and Baylor. Some really good basketball, actually.
Chaz Lanier, baby.
I mean, he's starting to look more like Dalton Knecht. He was the tournament MVP with, I believe, 25 points per game between the two. And all I've heard since basketball season started is just this Tennessee team's not going to be very good, mostly from Vol fans. We love to eat our own. And from what I saw this week, I mean, Tennessee seems to be pretty good. They held Virginia to their season average of like 42 points per game. And then last night, Chaz Lanier came out and hit his first five threes, and Tennessee rolled to a decisive victory. So, my headline's the Vols and what the good Deacon Rick Barnes is doing in Knoxville right now.
Well, I appreciate the Vols taking out the Hoos.
You know what's higher on the food chain than a deacon?
Tell me.
A pope.
That's good. Yeah, that's true.
And a cardinal.
Who's the cardinal?
The Louisville Cardinals.
But Tennessee beat Louisville earlier this year, so
same state.
That doesn't make sense.
The Pope is higher than the Cardinal.
The Pope is the highest.
The Pope appoints the Cardinals.
Right.
You're right.
We learned this in...
But don't the Cardinals choose the Pope as well?
School.
That is true. But did the Cardinals...
You're not wrong.
It goes both ways, right?
It's like the NFL draft. Whenever you're trying to pick a Pope, they put out the smoke. And
the white smoke.
Yep.
Let's have a talk about religious elections.
Let's not. My headline this morning, a friend of the show... Darren Ambrose, head coach of Vanderbilt soccer. He was on about a month ago. Vanderbilt soccer took down the defending national champions Florida State last night in the round of 32 of the NCAA tournament.
Way to go, Dean Ambrose.
So they are into the Sweet 16. They will take on Penn State on Sunday. So a chance to go to – is the College Cup the final eight? I believe that's right. I think that's right.
You're asking the wrong
I think
buddy.
The final eight is the College Cup. So a chance to advance to the College Cup for the first time. Won it in PKs last night. It was kind of cool. We were over at Memorial. Vandy Woman played Samford last night. 104 points for Shea Ralph and company.
There you go, Shea.
Yes, the final eight.
Final eight is the College Cup. Scored 38 in the fourth quarter. But just before that, they showed the last couple of PKs on the Jumbotron, and there was a pretty big cheer when the last save was made. And Vandy Soccer advancing to the round of 16.
Vandy Sports on the come up.
Big day for a big 24 hours for Vanderbilt Sports. Men's basketball got two wins, beat Nevada and Seton Hall down in Charleston. Mm-hmm. They'll play Drake tomorrow for the Charleston Classic Championship. Obviously, the women's team beat Samford 104-59. And then soccer advances. Diego Pavia and Clark Lee. The onus is on you now.
Yeah.
Down there
in
Baton Rouge.
Make it a big 48. Yeah.
You can listen in right here. 5 p.m. Pregame coverage starts down from Death Valley.
LSU's wearing some cool uniforms.
They are. The yellow, the gold. Yeah. It's cool.
It's cool.
I have a bone to pick with him on that, by the way.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, teams normally, when they have a really good uniform release, they put out some nice video and, you know, there's a historical reference to it or something. They're just like, here's what
hey, guys, we're wearing gold.
Yeah, you could see the hanger in the graphic still.
Yeah.
This is it, guys. Like, come on, get excited.
You're a big brand, too.
Yeah,
I know.
LSU's kind of known for being showy and flashy. And, like, they're just like, all right, here's the new jerseys.
I didn't even see it from them. I saw it from, like, Uniswag or something.
Yeah.
On three.
I'll say this about LSU. They're done with their season.
They're done.
The fan base doesn't care. The administration probably doesn't even care at this point.
We're sitting here talking about the same things. Let me know.
Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly, he's probably fired up for tonight's game because he's coaching for his job.
He's probably fired
I don't know if the team is going to be quite as motivated. So we'll see. Maybe Clark Lee and company can get the upset win. Coming back here quickly before Connor gets to his headline. Next week's schedule a little bit weird with us. We're going to be on the air Black Friday from 6 to 8 a.m.
Woo!
So if you're out doing shopping, that's going to be our main show for the week, 6 to 8. So that'll be our usual 2 hours, and we'll do a lot of previewing of Tennessee Vanderbilt during that stretch. Saturday, we will be on the air from 9 to 9:30, but then pregame coverage starts for Tennessee and Vandy. So we'll lead right into that. So main show is going to be early morning on Black Friday, but we will be on the air 9 to 9:30 on Saturday as well and get you set for that rivalry showdown on West End.
Eat your cowboy breakfast that Friday morning.
If you're camping out in front of GameStop, please turn us on.
Yes, bring your AirPods and you can listen in. Or just, you know,
I don't know
play
if people
us out
do
loud.
That anymore. Do people camp outside
I don't
of
know if they
anymore?
Do anymore. Not GameStop,
wish.
At least. But if you're out there shopping, throw an AirPod in. Or just play us out loud for everybody to hear.
For everyone. Be like Jake Lyman's parents.
Play it out loud. Play it on the speaker at a tailgate. my parents will actually be at the Virginia Tech-Virginia game next weekend.
I expect a selfie.
Where the Hokies will look to win, 23 out of 25 or something against the Hoos. Connor, go ahead.
I need to collect myself here because this is a really, really sad headline. Yesterday, at approximately 10:30 a.m., I was driving to go get a haircut, and my car started bucking and bucking and bucking. I was like, what is going on? I had to pull over on the side of the road. I was stranded for about an hour before a mechanic came, and he said, my transmission has gone out. So, unfortunately, it looks like it's the end of an era for the Newtmobile. I would like to take a quick moment of silence for the Newtmobile. And mainly for my pockets, because I'm not financially stable enough to buy a new car. But it's something I have to do, I hope my car crosses the rainbow bridge and drives the eternal interstate all the way to heaven. I'll see you again, my friend. Thank you for your service. Would you like to say any words?
Connor, we are obviously very upset about you losing. I'm just, Jake, that was perfect.
I know.
That played, like, it sounded so good. No, obviously terrible stuff. I mean, I told my story of my car issues, and luckily mine was covered under the class action lawsuit. But I know that that's not the case for you, so... Yeah. Rip to the Newt Mobile.
She was a good girl.
Am I the only one that kind of got choked up?
Oh no,
I choked up.
I was crying a little bit from laughing.
Yeah, I will say condolences to the patina of the car and everything else along with it, yeah. And obviously to the pockets.
Yeah,
yes. Is that right?
I gotta find something cheap, not cheap, but like
I may know a guy.
Something serviceable. I gotta get through college before I actually get a full-time paying job. They don't pay me enough here. I hope Chase is listening.
Is this the second time this month that Connor has complained about
being... Second week in a row.
where I formally request a raise.
Outwardly asking for more money on the air.
Please, if you know any... I might start a GoFundMe. Please.
Is that, like, legal?
I don't know if that's legal.
not to get a raise for a car.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it is legal. Yeah, if people are willing to give you their money, as long as you're not lying.
It's their money. They just choose to give it to me.
Yeah,
it's their money. You need it now.
As long as you're not falsely advertising.
J.G. Whitworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
Connor leads into our question of the day today.
In honor of my first car, which everyone knows, you love that first car till the day you die. Maybe the worst car of all time. You still love it. What was your first car? And do you have as sad a story as I do? If so, we will play Sarah McLachlan the entire show. What's that thing Big Joe says at the end of the show?
Oh, I can't remember. My brain's not great. But yes, he says it every show.
Yes, he does. Please dial that number. Or, you know, call AutoZone.
Or... call or text us, 615-747-1025.
Nice segue.
Let us know your story of your first car. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
D-Mace has a great one. The Bullet. You ever heard The Bullet?
Yeah. I don't know if I've heard that one.
I can't tell it because that's his story. But
I'll have to ask D-Mace.
My memory's not great enough to recite the whole thing. So.
Well, let us know your story of your first car on our text or phone line, 615-737-1025. I actually have a good first car story, and we will get to that. We'll need some Sarah McLachlan for that as well. We'll get to that coming up at 10 o'clock. Connor, I have a suggestion for your next car, and it's going to lead us into our next segment.
Maybe you should get
the Honda Accord.
Hey!
We'll talk Nick Westbrook-Akina coming up next. You're listening to Forest Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Bavarian Beer House. This week's Nashville's best deal is Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Oh my God.
What was that?
That was the Rizzler jump scare.
It was the Rizzler Save Me remix.
I
was looking for just...
He's got a song too?
I can't breathe. Part of...
he has his own verse on...
There's more I gotta learn.
We have dived so much into this family's universe. I feel like we're a part of them.
I saw a video of them the other day. They had Santa Claus in their group now.
They have so many new characters. Like, it's hard to keep up.
What is going on?
Jingle Boom is their new song.
It's awful.
It's really bad.
It's really, really
bad. I was gonna play that this morning, but I remember a conversation from a few weeks ago about Christmas music before Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I think that Jake Lyman has
a bug to pick. We can play it next week, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Let Thanksgiving happen first.
Yeah, we got a week to go. I've got to learn to maybe not start doing reads until I know what song is playing, because the Rizzler jumping in mid-read was too much for me there.
I heard him come in. I was like, you did not. He started it. I was like, what is he playing?
My jaw is to the floor. Like, what?
I don't even know what... Four's Company.
He's killing it today.
Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman has already had two signature moments behind the board this morning.
I've trained
There's more where that came from. Yeah. Keep listening. Wow.
We've got some football to talk here. Titans lost again on Sunday. 2-8 now on the year. Fell to the Minnesota Vikings. Lots of controversy in that game. But we'll wait. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Will Levis, what a game for the second-year quarterback. He had the late pick kind of in desperation time, but 98-yard touchdown to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Great throw to Calvin Ridley that was called back due to an illegal formation penalty. Hit Bryce Oliver down the field. Probably the best game we've seen from Will Levis since at least Miami last year. And maybe shows you that, hey, if he can do that a little bit more and show that he's on the right trajectory, maybe deserves a chance to get a third year with the Titans next season.
Yeah, he's showing some stuff. I think you said it best. That was the best game he's played this season. Now, he's got some excuses to go along with it. I think we'll get to that here in the clip shortly. But, I mean, he's just – Frazier says it best. He's going to progress and then he's going to regress. So I can't take anything from that – I don't want to say great game – solid performance.
Above average.
Above average. I can't take anything from that because I know what he's capable of doing, and that's regressing. And I think that's going to happen. I mean, especially this week. He plays a good defense in the Texans.
Yeah.
I just think he's progressing, obviously. I wish the best for the guy. Obviously, I've been very adamant about moving on from him just every single week, but you got to give the guy credit when it's due, and he's done a good job so far. So maybe the whole AC joint thing in his shoulder, maybe that was what has been hindering him the last couple of weeks since the Miami game, actually, of this year, not of last year, but this year. So maybe, you know, if he does show more signs of improvement, maybe keep him. Because you look at the quarterback pool, and we've kind of mentioned this before, but there's not a lot out there. Like, Daniel Jones is now a free agent.
Right.
I'm good.
I don't see him coming to Nashville, though. You know what I mean?
I'm good. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're better off with Daniel Jones in there as a free agent quarterback? Or if you draft one, honestly, I feel like with Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, it's not like they're these generational prospects where you're immediately upgrading. I feel like there's a lot of the same concerns as you have with Will Levis. Might as well give the guy who has experience in this system another chance. He's still on his rookie deal. And then, you know, you get a whole year to look at him. Talking with TD last night, I mean, the first three games were bad for Will Levis. He had three pretty catastrophic mistakes in 3 weeks. But then Miami, he only really played a series and a half. Then the Colts game, he was clearly not 100%. Since he's come back and been full strength the last 2 weeks, I think those were clearly the two best games he's played this year. Obviously, a long way to go. He's got to continue that through the next 7 weeks. But it's good to see that he is starting to learn from his mistakes. And I don't think we have the clip, but the chest passes and the flailing, trying to do too much, the hero ball has been eliminated so far, which is good to see.
And he mentioned that. He said, well, I haven't done any chest passes or whatever, to which I say, yet. We'll see. But to his credit, he's got a guy that he can rely on now in Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, the Honda Accord, as we call him. But, I mean, he's the best receiver on this team. Not best. Most well-rounded.
Most consistent.
He's always going to be there when you need him. Yeah, you're right. Calvin Ridley's probably
Calvin
the
Ridley
best
Calvin Ridley is more
receiver.
Talented, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
But you look at Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. They kind of buried him on the depth chart this year. They said, you know what? We're tired of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine being wide receiver two. Let's keep DeAndre Hopkins, bring in Calvin Ridley, bring in Tyler Boyd, give Treylon Burks as many opportunities as he wants, and guess who's still sticking around?
Yep.
The old Honda Accord, out there scoring 5 touchdowns in the last 6 games.
More than some of the top receivers in the NFL.
Where did he go to college? Indiana. That's what I thought.
He's a Hoosier.
Yeah, just something about that DNA over there. I don't know.
We can do better than that. We can be
well,
better
I'm just
than
saying,
the Hoosiers.
This guy... Oh, yeah, you're quoting. Sorry.
No.
You're quoting?
No.
Oh.
They're a rival.
Oh,
go Cats!
It's all right. Maybe next year. Maybe
in basketball.
Year. Yeah, they're according to EA Sports College Football 25. They're a rival in football.
Really? Is there a trophy game for that?
No, it's just rivalry.
It just has that little
gotcha.
Yeah, little logo. Yeah,
dude, NWI has been phenomenal.
He's awesome
to the point where you have to like keep him continuously on every single roster, any type of coaching change. It doesn't matter. Like, he has earned the stripes. Like, he's that Mr. Reliable.
That's
that you got to have.
He's been getting one-year deal after one-year deal. I am ready to say it. It's time to give him a three-year extension.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be that expensive. I bet you could get him for 3 years.
$8 million a year.
I was going
to
say
maybe
six.
Even less. I was thinking like $18 to $20 million total. Mm. Like, maybe you guarantee 12 of it, 3 years, $20 million.
Yeah, do it.
I think that would get Nick Wisbrock-Ikhine. And, you know, that's a low investment for a guy that you know is going to be consistent. And I think the Titans need to draft a wide receiver this upcoming year early.
Yeah.
We were going through it yesterday. Over the last 8 years, since Doriel Green Beckham, the Titans have picked three wide receivers in the first 2 days of drafts. Four, sorry. Corey Davis and Taywan Taylor were both in 2017.
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, who then was traded for the pick they took Treylon Burks with.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the only four receivers the Titans have taken on day one or two since 2016. You've got to start investing in that position more.
I cannot speak today. Stadium Pulse. Frazier, what have I been saying? If he is there, sell your soul for him.
Luther Burden.
No.
Travis Hunter.
Yep. Do it.
See,
do it.
I like Travis Hunter, and I think he's possibly the best player in this draft class. Probably the best player in this draft class. But I would rather, if you're picking second, I'd rather trade down to 10, 11, 12 and get Luther Burden I'm going to butcher his name, Tetairoa McMillan.
Arizona?
From Arizona.
Yeah.
I would rather trade back, pick up a few extra picks, maybe even a first-round pick the next year, and still get one of those top three wide receivers.
I'd love Luther Burden.
Luther Burden he's going to be a guy in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Travis Hunter is going to be better. But if you can get Luther Burden plus a 2026 first and maybe a 2025 third versus just Travis Hunter, I would take Burden in the picks.
Yeah, I see that. But if for some reason you have the number two pick and Travis Hunter falls, you better.
I wouldn't hate it. I mean, heading into next year with a top three wide receivers of Calvin Ridley, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and pick your poison of those top three wide receivers, I think puts the Titans in a good spot. You have to address right tackle. If Jared's out there listening, you have to address right tackle as well.
You know he's not listening.
But I don't think you spend another top 10 pick on the offensive line. Like, if you go three straight years, guard, left tackle, right tackle, like, you're leaving too many holes elsewhere.
I was thinking about that because I've been pretty adamant on this show they need to fix the tackle early in the draft and draft Will Campbell, the kid out of LSU, or he's out of Texas. He's also
a tackle. I know who you're talking about.
I've been pretty adamant if you have like a top seven pick to do that, but over time I've been thinking this would be the third year in a row the Titans have spent a top 15 draft pick on an offensive tackle or lineman, I mean. So you're right. You're leaving too many holes elsewhere.
And I would be perfectly fine. I mean, if the Titans are, let's say they're picking second or third in this scenario, you're picking second or third in the second round too. Pick a tackle there. Pick your right tackle there. I haven't studied up on draft boards enough to know exactly who's going to be available. But I think that's a spot where you could get your tackle. Maybe even if you trade back and pick up an extra third round pick, take your tackle there. We've seen tackles in the second and third round this year end up making an impact. Roger Rosengarten is the starting right tackle for the Ravens. I think you can address that later in the draft or in free agency, but you need a playmaker that can grow with Will Levis or whoever your quarterback is next year. So I'm leaning towards one of those top three receivers, but you got to extend the Honda Accord too. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine deserves his flowers. Pay that man over the next couple of weeks.
Where did Honda Accord come from?
TD.
Ah.
Yeah, Teron, I think it was in the offseason, he was talking about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and he was like, he's like that old Honda Accord. It's 20 years old, but it still runs just as good as the first day you got it.
There you go.
Consistent.
I'm sorry, TD. I didn't realize I was familiar with your game.
Yeah.
You need to maybe you need to go get the Honda Accord. Just saying.
Yeah.
Maybe I should.
615.
Cheap.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That might be your best option.
Does she got a sweet sound system?
I believe so.
I don't know.
You can probably get that going as well.
That's not part of the metaphor, I don't think. But
No, it's not. We're actually talking about the actual car, not Nick Westbrook at Keene.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. And once again, our question of the day, what was your first car as we mourn the Newtmobile? And is there any good story for you of your car? 615-737-1025, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll talk more about the Titans game on Sunday when we come back. The officiating, once again, a story for back-to-back weeks. Let's talk about it next. Forge Company, 1025-1063, the game. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison tomorrow morning for the pregame show, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. They will break down the Titans' Week 12 matchup against the Texans and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Forrest Company on this Saturday morning, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. We're talking Titans. Coming up next, we'll get to Newt's notes, and then in the second hour, we'll talk some Preds and get you ready for a full slate of college football games, including Indiana and Ohio State coming up right after us here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Guys, we talked about Will Levis and his solid game against the Vikings on Sunday, but did not get the win, and a lot of that, I'm not a blame the officials guy, because no matter how bad the officials are, usually you have an opportunity to make up for it. But the officials handed the Vikings 7 points and took 7 points off the board from the Titans on two very judgment questionable calls. 2 weeks in a row, we're talking about officiating with touchdowns being taken off the board or put on the board for another team. I don't think the NFL is rigged or anything like that, but it is strange that these things just keep going against the Titans over and over and over again.
You know what that means? What am I going to say here?
Titans are going to tighten?
No.
I don't know.
The ball did not bounce
their
way. That
is true. The ball did not bounce their way.
It did not. Because the ball is not round. It's what's the word he used?
Oblong.
Oblong. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
The hit in the end zone, I can understand, like, first look at it. You're like, okay, that might be unnecessary roughness. But you've got six guys out there. Somebody should have seen, hey, he got him shoulder to the chest and picked that flag up. Or the replay review, they can video, like, radio down and say, hey, that was shoulder to the chest. That's a clean hit. Pick up the flag. But none of that happened. And they defended it in the post-game pool report, too. I just don't get on fourth and one how you call that. That was about as textbook of a clean hit as you can possibly get.
My favorite was, like, they would, you know, they obviously call in Gene Steratore, the rules analyst for every sport imaginable for some reason.
Yeah, he's like college basketball too,
yeah,
isn't he?
I'm like, well, okay. But basically they would call him in and he was like, yeah, that's not the right call. That's pretty garbage. And I was like, what? Gene knows all the rules.
Which Jared is right when he says usually Gene or whoever those rules analysts are, they will back up their guys for the most part. They're going to come in and try and defend the officials on the field. Oh, well, here's what they probably saw. They probably made the right call. But Gene came in, he was like, yeah, I don't see that one there. I don't get how they make that call. So that's when you know that the call on the field was bad, when even Gene Steratore is saying, yeah, they messed up.
Didn't Cleet Blankman, is this Blankman, right?
Cleet Blakeman, yeah.
Blake,
Cleet?
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. And what a name, right? Cleet.
I'm going to name my kid that.
There you go. Well, anyways, like, I believe, didn't he say in, like, the, after the game, it was because he launched his body off the ground?
That's what they said. They launched, and they said there was forcible contact to the head or neck area.
See, that second part, that's where the gray area begins, because you could have forcible contact to the head or neck area almost on any hit.
But watch the replay. He's playing for the ball.
Exactly.
And his feet were on the ground, too.
Yeah.
He didn't launch.
Yeah.
And he hit him right in the number three on Jordan Addison's chest.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's a football play.
It was a textbook hit. And, you know, I didn't watch it live because I was over at Vandy, but I was kind of scrolling through Twitter and it was so funny. National media,
local media, all tweeting, that might be the worst call I've ever seen in my life. And I wouldn't go that far, because there's been some bad calls. Like, obviously, the Rams-Saints pass interference.
That was my mind first.
That's the first one that comes to my mind. But it was pretty bad. And then the illegal formation calls, I get it's a quote-unquote point of emphasis for the NFL this year, but you look at it, if he was off the line of scrimmage, it was by a hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you take a touchdown off the board, great throw from Will Levis, too. I hate the officials being the story in a game for the second straight week.
You should have just stopped there. I hate the officials.
I hate the officials.
Let's go to break.
You know, I'm a big believer. You know, we get coaches and players up to the podium after games and ask them questions.
Don't go where I think you're going.
I'm going to go there.
Don't do it.
Why not?
Because it's stupid. Because
why? They make judgment calls
an official press conference?
Yes.
Don't do it.
I feel like they should have to answer.
It's never going to happen.
It may not happen, but I'm for it, because coaches make judgment calls the entire game. Players make judgment calls the entire game, and they have to answer for it. Officials make judgment calls on calls like illegal formation and unnecessary roughness and stuff like that. I feel like they should have to answer for those.
Well, they do the pool report.
Yeah, but I'm fine with like a scrum, like a quick, hey, what was your thought on that? I don't want to see an official go right up to the podium, have a 15-minute press conference.
I don't know if we need that, but
maybe not. But I feel like they should have to answer for some of these calls that are just ridiculous.
I agree with that. I thought you were going.
I could see Cleet going up to the podium. Well, the flag didn't bounce their way. I don't
know. The flag is thin. It is not a ball.
It is ridiculous how protected officials are, though. Like, the fact that Brian Callahan couldn't even go to the podium and say, like, that's a terrible call because he's going to get fined.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous that you're not allowed to criticize the officiating when it is bad. And I love that Brian Callahan was going after those officials. I need to see the John Boy lip reading. I think they were working on it.
I think that's what he said to Ran the other day.
Yeah, he said, how many plays have they taken away from us today?
Yeah.
Was the lip reading that I think somebody got.
Yeah. He's like, Rand, don't get mad. I'm about to cost you some money. But
tough. It's tough. I could use some
of that money.
Same story as last week. Did it affect the outcome of the game? I'd be more inclined to say yes for the Vikings game because, again, it was a 14-point swing on those plays. I still don't know if you can say that cost the Titans the game, because the game would have been played a completely different way had the Vikings not scored that touchdown. So you can't say that it cost them the game, but man, it had a big impact back-to-back weeks. Titans fall to 2-8, and now back-to-back tough road games, which I don't know if you would have said the Commanders are going to be a tough road game at the beginning of the year, but Texans and Commanders on the road in back-to-back weeks, there's a half-decent chance the Titans are 2-10 coming back home to face the Jaguars in early December.
Yeah, and I guarantee you they win one of those games.
Mike Vrabel's not the coach anymore.
Yeah, well.
No, but he will be on the Manning cast on Monday.
That is true.
If he's, well, no, the Browns won. There was a report that said there are odds that Stefanski is out and Vrabel's in.
He'd be the interim head coach, yeah. Speaking of which, quickly before we go to break here, Mike Mularkey, just quickly on this. I mean, Ian Rappaport, did you see the clip of him talking about it?
He said it to us.
He was really mad.
Yeah.
Mike Mularkey just straight up lying to Ian Rappaport and be like, hey, I got a contract extension. Because that was a very confusing morning. Like, you woke up and you saw the tweet, like, Titans have offered Mike Mularkey a contract extension. I was like, oh, wow. Well, I guess that makes sense. They want a playoff game. And then, like, 2 hours later, actually, he got fired.
Well, in the clip, Mularkey said he knew. It was obvious he was going to go in and get fired. And yesterday, Ian Rappaport tweeted out that it was like, because he obviously saw Mularkey's clip on that podcast. Yeah. And I think it's kind of funny that Ian Rappaport's just like, yeah, he lied to me.
Yeah. I still to this day think he got a raw deal, though.
But all he had to do was fire Terry Robiskie. There was no issues with Mike Mularkey. Robinson and Amy Adams Strong said, you got to fire the offensive coordinator. He's bad. The fans hate him.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do it. That's on him.
Yeah, that is true.
It's on him. We saw it with Clark Lee this year at Vanderbilt. He was on the hot seat after losing the last 10 games of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He made a complete 180 flip of his coaching staff, and look where they are now.
Yeah, they'll probably give him an extension, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I mean, probably. And I bet if Mike Mularkey had said, you know what, you're right, we're going to let's look at the offensive staff and make some changes, I bet he doesn't get fired.
And I bet we have a completely different quarterback story.
Yeah, what does Marcus look like?
Yeah.
Because Marcus was coming off, that was his second season.
I mean, no. Marcus went through.
That was his third season.
Yeah, that was his third.
That was post his leg break.
Marcus went through three coaching changes here, I think. Yeah. Maybe more.
No, three.
I think it was
because it was Wisenhunt.
It was three.
It was Wisenhunt his rookie year. And then
Mularkey was the interim.
Robisky was his offensive coordinator after that. Then LaFleur. And then he finished with Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
So he had four different offensive coordinators in 5 years.
Yeah. And then Vrabel came in 18, 19?
Yeah. His last 2 years were Vrabel, but he had two different offensive coordinators.
Peter's playing.
Anyway, just crazy that Mike Mularkey, the GM and the owner that were out to get me. I'm like, dude, just fire your offensive coordinator. That's all you had to do and you would have kept your job. They weren't out to get you. They wanted you to make the right decision for your coaching staff.
I will say, it was kind of a chef's kiss in a roundabout way, the way he did it with Rappaport. I thought I was
real quick. No, it's really funny.
It's hilarious.
Real quick, I know we're not talking Preds, but I have a little bit of breaking news.
Oh.
The Predators have recalled forward Fedor Svechkov from Milwaukee.
Oh, wow.
And reassigned defenseman Adam Willsby.
Wow, so
will Svechkov debut tonight? We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know for sure, but wow,
That's another NHL debut coming up soon.
It's a big move. I mean, Barry Trotz is shuffling the roster, obviously brought up LaRue, who just scored his first NHL goal, and now we see Svechkov up here. So, Preds trying to figure it out, playing, are the Jets officially the best team in the NHL?
Oh, yeah.
I know it's, yeah. I know they were up there, so big game tonight. You can hear that right here on the game coming up later. We'll take a break. We'll talk some Preds in the second hour of the show, but it's 9:45, which means it's time for Newt's Notes. Coming up next, here on Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in
Connor Newt.
I believe in
Newt's Notes.
Cause you love him in London and Paris and Tokyo.
Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It's time for Newt's Notes. Connor, the floor is yours.
I love how every time I tell Jake Wallman, surprise me, he just plays this one.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. It's the original. It might be the best.
I think this is my favorite one.
Yeah.
No, LA Knight's the original.
Yeah, that is the original. Yeah. But this is the first created one.
Yeah.
Handcrafted.
The Newt's Notes.
Handcrafted. Okay, so I have a proposal for EA Sports. We talk a lot about EA Sports and college football game and how I have 300 hours plugged into it. Not even joking. I have a problem. But the time has come. We need EA Sports college basketball back.
And amen.
I'm not a big Madden guy.
I know, I said amen.
Oh, I thought you said and Madden. I'm sorry.
We already have Madden.
Yeah, I was like, what? I was like, all right. Well, actually Jake Wallman inspired me because I saw you quote tweet the old NCAA 10, which I didn't get to experience.
No.
I was too little.
That was more of a me, Nick Frazier, Jake Lyman.
Yeah. Blake Griffin on the cover.
Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with the game. I know. I've never played it, but I've watched enough to know how it works.
The gameplay is rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went back and played a little bit ago on my old PS3, and I was like, after playing 2K, like, it's just so...
The presentation is ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah. Like
you got Dick Vitale on the ESPN broadcast, and then you got Gus Johnson on CBS.
Vern Lundquist was a part of that one as well.
Yeah. They switched to CBS for March Madness, which was awesome. I loved the, like, before you play, you're warming up on the court,
it fades into the arena, and what I would always do, just to kind of give it that broadcast feel, is I would immediately make like an easy layup and then I'd start the game.
Yep.
So like it's ESPN breaking into just a like a sold out arena.
Yeah.
For a really big like conference game or something.
So what I'm proposing is you played NBA Live, right?
Yeah.
Especially the old one. I still have it on disc, NBA Live 19 with Joel Embiid on the cover. Underrated. Ahead of its time. I mean it's I like it better than 2K. But make it with that gameplay, but incorporate the college football stuff. Like I want the recruiting, I want the traditions. I would love to see, you know, I'll use Kentucky for example. Kentucky running out of the tunnel in Rupp Arena and you see the flag coming up behind them, the Kentucky in the student section. Do that. I don't care if you don't have to have the CBS ESPN stuff, but just I would love to have, you know, I know he's with CBS, Iron Eagle. They'll probably end up with like Jay Billis in that, just
because
it's an ESPN thing. But do that soon, because if you do that, I will never play another game. That will be the only game I play ever for the rest of my life, and college football. But you know,
no, I agree. It was a fun game, and I think they could do a good job with it. I think the question is there enough of a market for that?
It's not going to sell as well.
It won't sell as well as football. But if you're making enough money on football, maybe you could do it. It's just I'm sure it's a large endeavor to make a whole new game from scratch. And I know you could use like the NBA Live engine.
Yeah.
But
they also haven't made NBA Live in like 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. So it would basically be a whole new game. It would have to sell a lot in year one, which
or just make one.
Just make one?
Just make one.
And just update it.
Or if you don't want to make one, remaster the old one.
Yeah.
It would have to have really good graphics.
Here's the thing. They're just 2K is king when it comes to basketball. We all know
or
that.
Or let 2K make it.
And I think they would. They didn't have.
That's what they should do.
EA still has the rights.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
That's tough.
2K, I was going to say, if 2K had the rights, that's how you rival college football. Yeah.
What are those rights cost, you think? Maybe 15, 20 million?
They're not selling, though.
EA's not going to sell it to their competitor.
They're not selling.
That's true.
They're either going to make it or they're going to hold on to it and just never do anything with it.
I mean, a lot of people hate on EA because they play online. I don't play online. I don't really like it. I'll play an online dynasty.
Yeah.
But I don't like playing like straight up head to head.
Right.
Not
Ultimate
for me.
Team. And
yeah, no.
I did that recently in college football.
I don't like
really?
It.
I won.
It can be fun for a little bit, but I prefer the dynasty part of it with the recruiting.
I just
all
like
that.
The storytelling. I like to play it on my tempo. I like creating my own stories. Right now at Kentucky in football, they're not actually brothers, but I recruited two guys with the same last name in the same class. Milo and you're going to laugh when I tell you what their names are. Milo and Nick McCracken. I'm not even kidding.
I know a realtor, that's her last name.
McCracken?
Yeah.
I know a stadium that has that name.
Yeah, their dad, Phil.
Yeah, Phil. But
Joe Dubin walked. Oh, wait, no, Joe's not here.
No, he wasn't.
Milo is a 99 overall junior running back with elite dev. And then Nick has kind of come on the scene.
Huh.
He's a sophomore redshirt because he's a wide receiver. He kind of sucks, so I redshirted him. He's kind of come up. He's an 89 now. I'm like, Nick, you go run those routes, son. I sound like Robbie.
You did.
No, I'm with you. I think a college basketball game would be great, and it doesn't have to be a yearly release, but you could maybe make it, see how it does, and at least there's one for the new generation.
That's what I'm going to do with college football. I'm never trading it in until I know for a fact the new one is out.
Yeah.
Because that was the mistake we made.
Well, I didn't. I kept my 360 in that game. And
well, Dad sold ours, so I was like, dude, like...
It's all right.
It's okay. I have it now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I have it now.
We've made it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have thoughts. And if you're from EA Sports and you're out there listening,
please.
Yeah, bring Connor's petition up the ladder.
Sign me onto the board. I'll give you some ideas.
There we go.
Only for the team in blue, though.
Instead of signing you on, why don't they just give you a car in return?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, please.
There you go.
I'll take anything.
Barter. Yeah. Go back and forth.
Except for like a white van. I don't really want any kids to be afraid of me.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Text or call. Our question of the day is...
Everyone is broken here.
Is what was your first car, and do you have a great story with your first car? We're going to tell ours coming up next here on Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.